Turn with me over to John chapter 4. Man, this is so exciting. This is so awesome. I am going to do my very best to go through this story very quickly, but I'm instructed by the Spirit of the Lord to do this. So instead of us just jumping right in, there's some things we're going to get out of this that maybe you haven't seen before. In verse 3, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And so he needed to go through Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Let me set the stage here. He's going through Samaria, and if you know anything about the culture of that time, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't talk to each other. Okay? As a matter of fact, the Jews, because of the law, had it in their culture that everybody else was subclass. They were third-class citizens, and you didn't communicate to any of them. Okay? There was a great deal of prejudice in the Jewish nation at the time. All right? So I want you to get that. I mean, I was with a new class at the Love Lady Center on Monday, and I just asked them, how many of you grew up in church? A number of them raised their hand. I said, what was it that caused you to come out of church? One lady said, you know, when I was a teenager or something like that, I had a friend of mine that, you know, she was white, the friend was black, and we were outside, playing basketball or whatever at the church. And one of the people of the church came out and said, y'all need to leave. And she said, oh, ma'am, we're members here of the church. She said, he's not, we don't serve that kind. Church. There's no place to look down on or to discriminate against a child of God. Just, that gets me more than anything else in the world, right there, that people would elevate themselves or think something's different about them because of their skin color, because of their education, because of their class, whatever that is, and to sit there and, anyway, I get really angry about this, I'm sorry, because that's not why Jesus came. And I'm telling you, Birmingham has a history, you know, and the nation and the world knows us for the race riots and the things that went on 40 years ago here in this city. But I want Birmingham to be an absolute light of what racial reconciliation looks like and what the love of Christ looks like amongst people, regardless of skin color, regardless of where they came from, regardless of where they live, that we don't look at any of that, but we elevate people based on, you know, the fact that they are children of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I got on my soapbox for a moment. This is what they're dealing with right now. This is what they're dealing with right now. And because of that, that girl would never go back to church, got into drugs. I'm telling you, the church was responsible. Church is responsible for a lot of the problems that our city and our nations have had because pastors have just taught the wrong thing. So a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus, this is verse 7, Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I just want to paint the picture, and I hate to use what is a dark period in our nation's history, but I want you to see that this would be no different than in the 50s or the 60s here in the South, when our culture was segregated, and you know, you had bathrooms for whites and you had bathrooms for blacks, and you know, and that sort of thing. And you weren't allowed to, you know, white people were taught not to talk to black people, you know, and vice versa, whatever that looked like. I didn't live during that time, but to see the history of it, we all know about it. This was so ingrained in the culture of their day that the Samaritan woman, as she came to the well and she saw this Jewish man, felt like a second class, third class citizen. In other words, she wasn't looking down on Jesus. She realized that him being a Jew would look down on her and just knew better and wouldn't even dare to even talk to somebody like that. Okay? Now, what does this have to do with moving in the gifts of the Spirit? I'm going to explain it to you. Let's just go on and read for a second. Because everything that we're doing here on Wednesday nights is for out there. Amen. That's right. That's good. And we're going to take this beyond coming in here and just having words for different people. And we've got to, when we see what Jesus did, when we see how he reacted, I want you to recognize that same Jesus is on the inside of you right now, today. Amen. You have the character and the nature of God. You have the living Christ on the inside of you that wants to live through you. And so we don't just look at what he did and say, well, that's Jesus, that's the Son of God, and bless his heart, he is awesome and I can't be that way. We recognize that as he is, so are we in this world. We're called to a higher standard. We're called to a different kingdom. We're called to demonstrate a different level of living. We are to be the sons of God, the children of God in manifestation. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all of creation is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah. Jesus said, give me a drink. She said, how are you talking to me? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Recognize this, that Jesus was the answer to her problems. That Jesus had everything that she needed, but she didn't know it. A lot of times you may find yourself in situations and we might can kind of cop out a little bit and say, you know, Lord, if you want me to talk to that person, have them come to me. Lord, if you really want me to do something, then give me a sign. Have them be the one. And we and God is gracious and God is merciful and he'll help try to meet that heart, that need and that request to the degree that he can, because he's still dealing with the will of another person. But I want you to recognize that Jesus was there and he wasn't just waiting on the woman to recognize the gift. If she had, then she would have come to him. And so what he did is he had to cross a cultural barrier, a racial barrier, something that was a big no-no at that time, to provide freedom for this woman, because he was called to humanity. He wasn't called to a group of people. He did this regardless of what people around him thought. If you really want to be at a place that you're hearing from God, that you're experiencing his flow, you're going to have to be ready to get out of your comfort zone and to do things that are uncomfortable. You have to get ready to step out. And yes, even when you're around your friends and even when you're around your families and you know that they disagree with you and they know that you're, that perhaps as you step out to talk to somebody, you know, perhaps perhaps your family has a real problem with Hispanics that are coming in illegally across the border. And so you have conversations about this, these undocumented people that are coming in. And so the approach there, or the thought there, is to be very negative towards them and to be very and to look down on them as if they're the problem. And so when you start looking that way, and when you start having conversations that way, as you're talking about people that are simply trying to come into a land that has freedom and trying to get away from where they're at, you know, to better themselves or to better their family or whatever that is, whatever you think their motivation is, understand first that they are somebody that God wants to reach. It really isn't about us being American citizens as much as it is about us being kingdom citizens. And that must trump what being an American citizen looks like. You have to think about people. In the kingdom, there are no borders. This has to be for some people because I had no plan to talk about these things this way, but I really feel a boldness. I really feel from the Spirit of God that this is so important that we get this, that we get the heart. In other words, it's not about a comfortable Christianity that all the circumstances and everything lines up perfectly. So somebody, you bump into somebody and then you have an opportunity to share the gospel with them and the Spirit of God to move through you. That it's really time for people to be called by God to shake things up a little bit. The disciples, Paul, Peter, John, it says they turn the world upside down. They went into places not trying to be sweet and comfortable and not trying to fit into a culture and all of that. They went into places and they stirred stuff up. Because there's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness doesn't like what goes on with the kingdom of light, because the kingdom of light is going to produce freedom in people's lives. So be willing to step out of what is considered culturally normal, to go to places and go to people that you wouldn't normally go to, that perhaps your family looks down on. Perhaps you've dealt with things where you've looked down on certain individuals because of their race, because of where they are. Well, you know, I tell you what, I think I'll just be called to this group of people. No, you're called to all people. And if you segregate yourself, and I'm not just talking about racial segregation here, but if you segregate yourself and limit the people that you minister to, limit the people that you'll engage because you have a natural fear for some reason or another and what you've heard and this and that, then what's going to happen is you won't really experience the flow of God the way that you need to, the way that He wants to, because there is a different, there's a river for everyone. You follow me? If you knew the gift of God, he says, then you would have said, give me a drink. You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. She's just thinking natural. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from itself as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay, listen to me for a moment. He talked about in John chapter 7, he talks about that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, rivers of living water. This is what he's talking about. And it says he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit who has all of the gifts that is needed for somebody else. Now, Olivia got it exactly right as she was talking about the mist, the breath coming in, but that she's returning that to others. Okay. And so what Jesus is talking about is in you is something that's bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. I remember this old song, I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. It's bubbling up on the inside. But if you suppress that, if you stop it, if you don't let it flow, two things are going to happen. Well, a number of things are going to happen. But number one, if you don't let it flow, then the person that it's for won't be impacted and their life won't be changed. Number two, it's going to hinder your growth in God's in the things of God. In other words, the rivers of living water aren't given to just come into your life and just to stop there. The rivers of living water are there to flow freely and unhindered to other people. And as it does, it ministers to every area of your life. Yes, yes, yes. Now get this. I'm about to give you something, give you a truth that maybe you haven't thought about in a particular way before. Okay, here we are. We're trying to figure out how to be blessed by God, how to be healed. We're looking at that for ourselves, you know, as we continue our journey with God. I'm just talking about believers in general. And the fact of the matter is, the flow of the rivers of living water starts from a place, number one, that you are complete in Him. Number two, that you have everything that He is on the inside of you, every resource that you need. And then number three, that you have been called to release those resources to hurting humanity. And the secret behind the walk with God is as you release that into others, you get blessed in the process. As the river flows, you get wet. We stopped by Walmart on the way here, and Jennifer went in and I parked the car, and I looked for her to come out. And all of a sudden, we had a little thunderstorm and rain came down. And she called me when she finally got out and says, "Honey, can you pull the car up? And then there's an umbrella on the side and, you know, and come around and get the umbrella and then come get me." What I really should have done is just kind of drove past her, rolled down the window and threw her the umbrella.
Oh, no.
Catch it. She said, if you do that, I'm telling everybody at church. So what did I do? I got out, got the umbrella, put it up, went and helped her get under the umbrella so it didn't mess up her hair. But my arm is outside, and what's happening? It's coming down. I can't help but get wet. And if you got rivers flowing out of you, you can't help but get wet. Listen to us. A member of our church, Wainwright, is nearly 80 years old, and he disciples people every week, spends time every week. We talk every week. And so he's ministering to people, seeing people free, working down at Turning Point, counseling people. His heart hardly ever goes to the doctors, one of the healthiest people that you've ever been around. And I got to think about, why is he so healthy? He's been in ministry all these years. Because he's continually pouring out to other people. He's continuing, the rivers of healing are flowing out through him towards others, and he can't help but just be healed in the process. I want you to see that flow through you to others is also ministering to you as well. One of the greatest things that God did for me at 42 years of age was call me to pastor. It's one of the greatest things He could have done. Because I had no answers for anybody. I didn't have answers for myself. I didn't have answers for Jennifer. I didn't have answers for my kids. I had questions, not answers. But when I started ministering, when I started, you know, helping people to the best that I could, all of a sudden, the rivers of living water began to flow in my life. I started getting answers. We got set free in the process. And so as I get to minister to people week after week, day after day, it continues to bless us and minister to us in the process. Let the rivers flow, and you won't stay sick. Let the rivers flow, and you won't stay in a place of depression. Let the rivers flow, and darkness can't stay in your family. Let the rivers flow. To finish this, to bring this to a close. I I want you to see that Jesus was starting to talk about this river, this water springing up into everlasting life. And also note this. He sat there because, not because the Holy Spirit said, I need you to minister to this woman. The purpose that he was there, Scripture is very clear, is because he was tired. He was wearied in his journey. He didn't stop there and say, I feel impressed that I'm about to meet a woman. He was tired. He was thirsty. The disciples had to go into the towns to get something to eat. So don't wait for a divine appointment and a divine unction to say, this is a person that you need to minister to. He's tired, he's hungry, all of those things, yet the gifts of the Spirit were in operation right there. Just because he engaged the woman, as he engaged, all of a sudden now the gifts begin to operate. Because the next thing he says, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And I kind of think that Jesus kind of chuckled and said, you know what? You got that exactly right. Because you had five husbands and the guy you're with right now is not your husband. So yes, you told the truth. That's what it says. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Listen. We can chuckle about it, but the point of the matter is a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom operated in that moment that then all of a sudden engaged this lady in a way that as she began to talk to him and find out about him and understand who he was, it went and it actually ministered to a whole town because she went and told the whole town about it. Yes. When you're tired, when you don't feel like that the gifts are there, when you don't know that God's called you to do something, when all you want to do is just go home or whatever, be ready. That's a great time. When you're weak, that's when he's strong. You look at people through his eyes. Man, I'm telling you, in the river. And then what happened is as the disciples came back, first of all, the disciples were like, why is he talking to that woman? Because they still hadn't dealt with the prejudice issue. Took a supernatural encounter with God for Peter to even get it years later. Why is he talking to that woman? But they knew better than to ask him that. That's what it says. They didn't dare ask him. But after she left, he said, here's your food. And he said, I've got food that you don't know about. And they're like, what do you mean you got food? And he said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that he sent me to do. And so what is he saying there? That as you operate, as you co-labor with him, as you work together with him to build the body of Christ, to bring people into freedom, as you do that, that there's strength, there's sustenance, there's nourishment that happens. That's that flow that I'm telling you about. And I'm telling you, it's only in that place of ministry that you're going to continue to grow in him. Hallelujah. I'm really serious about this. See, the Lord's really serious about this. We have the opportunity to impact a city, to impact a state, to impact a nation, to impact the world. Thank you, Father. Alan, I'll ask you to come back up on the keys. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What we're going to do is just begin to pray in the Spirit and watch. And again, this is really strong on me. So Stephen and Lisa, I just really feel like that the Lord's going to give you something. And so when he does, come on up. And it's going to be awesome. So, and it's not going to be, you don't have to stress or labor over it. So the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that when you come into a place, you can go ahead and start playing. When you go into a place in church, that you can start praying in the Spirit, but you don't have to do it in a way that, you know, he says, like, if you, when you pray in tongues, you're praying to God. You're speaking to your God, to God, and you're edifying yourself. And so what he says is that, because sometimes people have problems with corporate praying in the Spirit. They're like, no. He says, don't do it. Don't do it because people are going to freak out. No, he didn't say that. What he's talking about is getting up and just speaking out loudly enough that everybody's drawing attention to you. Because then he says, if there's not an interpreter, he says, then just speak to yourself and to God. He doesn't say, shut up. He says you can continue to pray in the Spirit, but just do it to yourself and to God. So it's actually okay, and it's actually encouraged to pray in the Spirit while you're in a church setting. Okay? So if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to pray in the Spirit. So for a moment, just go ahead and let's stand with me, and let's see what the Spirit of God does here. This is going to be awesome. Thank you, Father. Already the Spirit of God is beginning to move. Thank you, Father. Kodra manda sile bokune nene menge de shibrakte de bokure. Kodra mende la sike de manda la kote de namange de neneshi. Imbrondo sklabate. You got to get comfortable praying out in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Kodra manda, because you're praying the mysteries of God. You're praying the wisdom of God. You're releasing the flow of the rivers of God to begin to flow through you. Kodra manda sile bokune nene menge de shikrabate. Ebrokto so grabata sike de manda la sunge de mende. Kodra mende. The Bible says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that is in you. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift right now that is in you. Hallelujah. Kodre mende sigra bata sike de mande. While we're doing this at this time, we're going to go ahead and cut the live stream just so that we can give people the opportunity safely to come up and to share what's on their heart as they step out, maybe some for the first time. I really do want to encourage people for the first time that have never done this to step out. There's plenty of us that can, and we can do that. But I really feel that the Lord wants to do some things new tonight. And so we say bye-bye to live stream. You guys have an awesome evening as we continue to let the Spirit of God flow right now.